Okay. These shiurim is going to be probably be for the next week and a half, believe it or not. This is hopefully as comprehensive as a work, definitely as I could do. I mean, I probably could do more, but in terms of a comprehensive intro to the year, I think it will be three or four shiurim on this. Today's first shiur, as you see, is this. These marmakom. This is for the first year. The last two. If you notice, I cut out part of the Bir Agra. We're going to see more of the Bir Agra at a later time, but this is just, you know, this is for now, and you'll see. As we go on, there'll be more marmakomos coming. Now, why are we doing this? Okay, we're basically doing this because every time I learn brachas, these rishonim pop up that take for granted that you know what they're talking about when they're talking about shkia. They don't tell you, oh, I'm going with my shkia. And I'm not going with the gaonim shkia, I'm going with my shkia. And you don't know what they're talking about when they say shkia, ben ashmashas. You have no clue. Okay, you have no clue what they're talking about. Hopefully we'll start having a clue after we get through these intros. I'll just give you two examples from last week's shiurim that because we didn't get into it, even the lumdus, you know, was weakened, or at least the proof for our lumdus was weakened because we didn't deal with this issue. I'll give you an example. Last week, We were bothered by the fact that Tosvos, Rebbe Tam, Tosvos assumed that in Rabbi Yehuda, if you remember this, that in Rabbi Yehuda who holds Mincha is until Plag HaMincha, and Maariv begins after Plag HaMincha, they took it for granted that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shema begins at Plag HaMincha. We were bothered by that. Like, why Dafka Rabbi Yehuda? Right? It's not like the Plag HaMincha Zman, we said, is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, like for Tosefes Shabbos and for Sfiras HaOmer. Okay? The truth of the matter is, if you look at Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Tosus there, Beferish, okay? Beferish says that Tosefes Shabbos Rab Soli Shal Shabbos Bar of Shabbos, if you read that Tosos carefully, is Dafka Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And you can only go ahead and have Tosefa Shabbos from Plag HaMincha if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda. You'll ask, so then where is Tosefa Shabbos according to the Chachamim? Shkia is already Bein HaShmashos. So where's the Tosefa Shabbos? So, the Ritva, and the Shulchan Aruch that you have here in the Maromakomos 14, going with the Ritva there on Chav Zayin Amud Beis and other Rishonim, they hold that Tosefa Shabbos can only start from where? From Shkia. Now what does that mean? That's Bein HaShmashos, right? Wrong. No, Shkia is not Bein HaShmashos. Shkia is really, as we'll see, way before Bein HaShmashos, according to the approach of Rabbeinu Tam and Rov Rishonim. Okay? So what comes out is that what was our weak link last week, okay, is no longer a weak link. Because what did we say according to Rabbi Yehuda last week? Okay, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Plag HaMincha Zman was the pre-Laila Zman. They said, oh, why couldn't that be the pre-Laila Zman of the Chachamim? No. The pre-Laila Zman of the Chachamim, okay, is Shkia Rishona, as the Rashba himself says in Rabbi Eliezer there on Beis Amud Beis. At that first, okay, Zman of Kriya Shema, according to the Chachamim's Mahalich, right, on Beis Amud Beis, is from Shkia Rishona. So, Not only is this sugya meaningful for the future, it helped us with our one weak link of last week's sugya. Okay? We're going to see, okay? We didn't get to it yet, but the whole type in the Gemara of Bias Shemesh and Bias Oro, Tahir Gavra, Tahir Yoma, is tully on this, knowing what this is talking about. Okay, and obviously the bottom of the Gemara, when it gets into the Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yehuda versus the Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yossi, also deal with this. So right away, we're going to be dealing with this. Okay, so let's get started. So we're going to do this, hopefully methodically, okay, what we're going to do is, we're going to first, actually I try to give everyone have one of these? Everyone has one of these? What I tried to do is get all the key Gemaras down so that when I go through this, we can do this in 3 or 4 Shiurim as opposed to 7 Shiurim, so we'll know exactly which Gemaras we're referring back to. Okay? So there's about, you know, six different little pieces of Gemara throughout Pesachim and Shabbos. The truth is there's another Gemara on Pesachim, Beis Amud Aleph, and there are Gemaras that we already saw of Tzeis HaKochavim, okay, with Nehemiah. But these are the key Gemaras for us right now. The other Gemaras we'll add in later. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each Maramaka. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to bottom line what each Gemara is saying. If anyone sees if I left anything out that they think is important to mention of those Gemaras, in those Gemaras, please, you know, raise your hand, because I want to make sure that every point that's critical from each Gemara has been spelled out. Let's go through Maramukkam. We're going to start with the first page. Maramukkam number 2. Okay? So here in Maramukkam 2, the Gemara, okay, Maramukkam 2 is the Mishnah until the words B'shas Achila on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis in Pesachim. And here you have Shitas Ula, which is a Shita that ultimately will be rejected according to the Pashtus HaGemara, but it's important to always know and have in mind, because even though it is rejected in terms of how many mil there are between, don't go under, but callous, okay, between what? Between Shkia and Seis, okay? Even though it's going to be, that's going to be rejected, the Shita might not be rejected in terms of assessing the Zman of a mil. And it might not even be totally rejected either, L'chumre either. So it's important to know Shitas Ula, and that's the Gemara here. Okay, and the Gemara, and basically Shitas Ula is that there are 5 mil. Okay, and we'll see down the line, we'll deal with next week, based on the Gemara, is how do you come to the 18-minute mil, the 22.5-minute mil, and the 24-minute mil. It all comes out of the Gemara, by the way. Okay, but for now, let's assume, today we're going to assume an 18-minute mil. Okay, that's just, when I talk about it, we'll assume an 18-minute mil, but it's not real. It's labdafka 18-minute mil. So there are 5 mil, according to Ula, between Shkia and Seis. Okay? Now, what is this based on? Okay, this is based, as the Gemara says, on the whole analysis of Derech Rechoka. Derech Rechoka is how long, how far away a person has to be in order not to be Chayiv Kares, for not bringing his Korban Pesach, and to be able to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni. Okay? So the Gemara says that there are 10 parsa, okay, 40 mil between, okay, Alos and Seis. That's what the Gemara assumes. There's 40 mil, 10 parsa. We'll see. The Rambam later on might have a whole different, you know, setup. But there's 40 mil, which is 10 parsa from Alos to Seis. Okay? What he then does is, okay, what he then does is he subtracts 5 mil, which is between Alos and Nates, and the 5 mil between Shkia and Seis, which is a total of 10. Okay? Subtract 40 by 10, you have 30. Cut that in half, which is a half a day from Chatzos until Shkia according, or Tzitzis according to Rov Rishonim. Okay, oh, sorry, till Shkia according to Rov Rishonim. That's how they learn from Chatzos until Shkia. That's the 15 mil that the Mishnah is talking about. That's how many mil from Modian to Yerushalayim. Okay, 15 mil. I wish it was 15 mil. Get that pretty quick. Okay, 15 mil. Okay, from Modian, and the route they had, they must have had, you know, the train route, 15 mil to Yerushalayim, that is Derech Rechoka. But that all was part of the calculation, and part of the calculation was, okay, that there's 5 mil, as the Gemara says, between Shkia and Seis. That's Ula. Just to point out, Rashi here points out, and this is what we're going to see, is alluded to a lot, that what is this time between Shkia and Seis? So, you know, Rashi describes it, like the Gemara always describes it as the sun, like when it goes, you know, we view as going, you know, below the horizon, but the whole sun goes, you know, is gone, we don't see the sun anymore. They call it, it enters into the Ovi HaRakia, the thickness of the Rakia, okay? When it enters into there, okay, so that's when Shkia begins, okay? And it, you know, hangs out there in this Ovi HaRakia until there's no more, you know, rays and light and redness anymore, and that's Seis HaKochavim, and then the stars come out, okay? So that's Mar Makom number 2 and 3. So again, number 2 is basically the Ula 5 mil. Okay? Between, that's 5 mil, right? If you assume 18 minute mils, okay? So that would be a total of 90 minutes, okay? But that is Ula's 5 mil between Shki and Seis. Then you have the Mar Makom number 4. Okay? That's the next Gemara. Okay? There, the Gemara there is the rejection of Ula's 5 mil. That's the rejection of Ula's 5 mil based on a brisa of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara there, okay, brings this brisa of Rabbi Yehuda that there are, beferish, there are 4 mil. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. There are 4 mil between Shkia and Seis. Okay, and that's where we get our famous 4 mil from. And this is what the Gemara says. Okay. Now, this Gemara, okay, next week when you go, this Gemara, the first thing you should probably do over Shabbos or Sunday when you're preparing Vayter is go through this Gemara very carefully with Rashi. We're not going to get into this technical part of it now, but there's going to be a machlokes between Rashi and Pashas HaRambam, the way the Gron stands the Rambam, exactly, okay, where the, what the mil in, the 40 mil, is the 40 mil from Alos until Seis, or from Shkia until, or from Nates until Shkia. And that's going to change the ratios in the Gemara, and it's also going to change, ultimately, our mil. Okay, that's where our assessment of how many minutes in a mil. So we're not going to get into that. You should go through it, okay? You should go through it in the Gemara with Rashi. Next week I'll have for you the Be'er Agra on the Rambam that rejects Rashi's approach. But the bottom line of it all, for us right now, is that the Gemara goes ahead now, based on the Brisa of Rav Yehuda, that there are 4 mil between Shkia and Seis. Okay? That's the Gemara number 4. Next, you have the Gemara number 5, which is on Psachim. That previous Gemara was Psachim Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Now we're up to Psachim Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, this Gemara, the short little Gemara, but it's seemingly, you know, a Gemara that we would just, you know, put off as an Agadata Gemara, you know, for another time, okay? But the truth is, this Gemara, as we're going to see, is very important in terms of Shitas Rabbeinu Tam and all those that are, go crazy on Rabbeinu Tam. We'll see how Rabbi Akiva Eger is going to save the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, but the Gemara here has this famous machlokas between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umos HaOlam. Okay, we could definitely use Rabbeinu Slifkin here to help us with this. Okay, but we're gonna just try to describe it the best we can based on, you know, the Gemara. What you should realize is that the exact descriptions that we're going to be talking about, you know, even Rishonim, the Maral understands this metaphysically. Others understand this metaphorically. Okay, so it really isn't necessarily that important in terms of the Metzius, but rather what they ultimately going to take from this, and the Rishonim going to take from this in terms of the what's happening and with the sun and how long the sun's going to be, you know, traversing in different, you know, in different time zones. But let's just describe it now, you know, from a basic Pashup Pshat, if you could call Pashup Pshat here, but for the Pashup Pshat, it goes like this. The Chachmei Yisrael, what they held was, okay, that what happens is, you know, they viewed the sun, and the sun, you know, the sun's movement, if you will, which we know is not really what happens, but the sun's movement throughout the day, okay, it was being viewed from the perspective of the person, you know, from the perspective of the person, the sun is, you know, where he is, the sun is moving. So they had this kippas harakia, there's a kippas harakia, so they used to describe the sun going, the sun when it was out, and you know, when you saw the sun, it was within the kippas harakia. Okay, so right, by day, the sun was off, it was traversing inside. That's what it means, l'makta me'arakia, right, the Gemara? It was traversing inside this, like, kippah, inside this, that's what was happening. And then you had the rakia. Okay? So the Chachmei Yisrael, what they held was, okay, after the sun traversed, okay, all the way, you know, from the east all the way to the west, okay, at the end of the day, so then what would happen is, at the end of the day, the sun would then enter the rakia, the ovi harakia, and when it was totally covered, that was shkia, sunset, right, what we view as below the horizon, that's what they're describing as going into the rakia, and then it would go into the rakia. And then when it was in the rakia, okay, it would you know, be doing whatever it's doing there for it. We'll see how long, all right? And then once it went into that rakia, it then popped out of the rakia, right? L'mala me'arakia, l'mala me'kipas harakia. And according to the Chachmei Yisrael, the sun then traversed above the rakia the whole night, and then came back around and scooped back in there, okay, coming up, you know, rising on the east side, okay, went from the west side to the east side, and that was the Chachmei Yisrael's vision. Okay, that was the, how you doing, Avi Sav, that was the Chachmei Yisrael's vision of what happens, okay, that was the Chachmei Yisrael's vision of what's happening in, okay, the day and night. The Chachmei Umos HaOlam, they held differently. The Chachmei Umos HaOlam, they said the same thing. The sun was traversing inside the kippas harakia, but after sunset, the sun then went down under the ground, under the earth, okay? And that was sunset, like, you know, below the horizon. Seems much more in line with, you know, our reality, although they seem to be describing it from the sun's movement also, okay? And obviously, when the sun dipped deep enough, and there was no more any rays, that would be Tehillat Kol. But the basic machlokas was, what happens to the sun? Does the sun go up above the rakia or go under the earth? Okay, and that's going to be important as we see, okay, when we get to the Shittas of Rabbeinu Tam. But that's the basic machlokas. And the Pashtus HaGemara is, okay, the Pashtus HaGemara is that the Chachamim were moda, because the Gemara says that Amar Rebbe v'nirin divrayim edvareinu. The Gemara ends up by saying that Rebbe, Yehuda Nasi, said, it seems like it appears their approach, okay, is more, you know, is more iskahalten than our approach. Okay? That's the Gemara. Okay? Let's move weiter. Next Gemara. That's the Gemara in Shabbos. So the Gemara in Shabbos, when it discusses Bein HaShmashos, this is the famous sugya of Bein HaShmashos, and this is the Braisa that talks about how Bein HaShmashos, you have to treat it as Safek Yom, Safek Laila, okay? It's also Safek Yom Vilaila. What the nafkamina is being Safek Yom Vilaila, just not Safek Yom Laila. The Gemara goes through, not for us right now. But that's this Bein HaShmashos. And Pashas HaGemara, as you all saw, is that this Bein HaShmashos period is between where and where? Between Misha Tishka HaChama, okay? I'm now putting together Mar Makom 6 and 7. I'm doing a little, as the Gemara says, Kroch V'tani, okay? Kroch V'tani, you see that here? Kroch V'tani. So take both Gemaras, we're going to put them together here. And so what comes out is that there's Shkia Sachama, and from the time of Shkia Sachama, or Tishka HaChama to be more exact, that's going to be important at Lashon, from Tishka HaChama until Tseis, okay, that's Bein HaShmashos. Now, well, that's the Bein HaShmashos of who and who? The Bein HaShmashos of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. The Braisa quoted there has three shitas of when Bein HaShmashos is. There's Rabbi Yehuda, which we're going to explain now, fusing it together with Sugya 7. Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbah, which says it's three quarters of a mil. Three quarters of a mil. And that's based on his reading of Rabbi Yehuda. This part of the Gemara we have to read. The reading of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbah, is, this is Rabbi Yehuda, this is how he gets the three quarter mil. Mishatishka HaChama calls man shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimin. Okay, it's from the time Bein HaShmashos. Okay, this is also the way the Rajba touches up Rabbi Yehuda according to Rabbah. It's like first there's a heading statement. Mishatishka HaChama calls man shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimin. From the time of sunset, as long as what? As long as the Pnei Mizrach, which the Gemara explains later, really means the western horizon. It's when the western horizon, right, shoots out light towards the east. But it really means is when the western horizon is reddening, still reddening, okay? And then the Gemara says, then Rabbi Yehuda says, Hichsif ha-tachton velo hichsif ha-elyon. If the bottom of, okay, the sky on the western horizon, the western side, okay, is dark, but above it, go to the beach and you'll see, and above it is still a little red, because it gets darkened first below, okay, that's still Bein HaShmashos, okay? But when hichsif ha-elyon, the hishva l'tachton, when the top and the bottom are now both dark, so that's already going to be seis hakochav. Okay, so you have shkia, it's reddening out there, still reddening. That's going to be, according to Rabbah, leave Rabbi Yehuda, three quarters of a mil. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the most important sheet for us. We're going to see the other important sheet for us. But for us right now, that's the most important sheet. Okay, and that's three quarters of a mil. From Shkia, while it's reddening for the next three quarters of a mil, and then comes Seis, when there's no longer any reddening, it's all dark, and then the stars come out. That's the period of Bein HaShmashos, of three quarter mil. That's Rabbi Yehuda. There's a sheet of Rabbi Nechemiah, who says, It's half a mil. What that's based on, we're not going to get into. Okay? The other important shita, which we'll deal with much more next week, that of Rabbi Yossi. Okay? Okay, many people don't think we hold like Rabbi Yossi. It's not true. We're really machmeh for Rabbi Yossi. Okay? As we'll see in a second. This is the other important shita. Rabbi Yossi shita is that Bein HaShemashos is keheref ayin. Sounds like a split second. We'll see if that's really true. Okay? And as soon as Bein HaShemashos comes, you're right, it's gone, and then it says like a chav. That's the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Okay? Now, the next Gemara, Mara Makom number 8, gets into Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, a couple of very important things come out of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. It's clear from the Gemara, Mara Makom number 8, okay, which is the Gemara Shabbos, Lamed Hay, Amad Aleph, Lamed Hay, Amad Beis, okay? 6 and 7 was Lamed Dal, Lamed Beis, Lamed Hay, Amad Aleph, for purposes of anyone listening here. The Gemara then goes on to say that you have Rabbi Yehuda, his Bein HaShemashos, from Shkia, okay, until what he calls, okay, Seis, or night, okay, and then right after that comes what? Rav Yossi's Bein HaShemashos. And the Gemara assumes that we are machmir for both. We are machmir for both Rav Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos and for Rav Yossi's Bein HaShemashos. What would that mean? So the Gemara explains that on Erev Shabbos, you have to be machmir for Rav Yehuda. And you have to stop malacha already from the beginning of Rav Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, which is 3/4 of a mil before, right, says. And then, on Motzei Shabbos, or for example, a Kohen eating his truma at night, you have to be machmir until after Rav Yossi's Bein HaShemashos, which is after Rabbi Yehuda. Now,
Rabbi Yehuda.
That's definitely from this Gemara Shkia. What that Shkia means, we're going to talk about in 5 minutes from now. Okay, don't worry. That's all part of the problem. But just understand, you have the Gemara here saying that there's Shkia, and then 3/4 of a mil, and 3/4 of a mil later is night, according to Rabbi Yehuda. After, and that's Bein HaShemashos. After that comes Rav Yossi's Bein HaShemashos, which is Keheref Ayin, but only comes after. Now, if it's Keheref Ayin, who really cares, right? So, number one is, if you see Tosfos, okay, discusses this question on the last page, okay, and he says that it's not necessarily immediately after, it's a little bit after, but not immediately after. So then you're going to have to add a couple of minutes. In fact, we'll see this in later Maramakomos, there are other Rishonim and Achronim that say Keheref Ayin doesn't really mean a split second. We'll see the Rush quote says that Keheref Ayin really means the time it takes to walk 49 Amos, which is about a half a minute. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he has a shita that Keheref Ayin means 2 minutes. That's where you're going to see, you know, a lot of these minutes get added to our, you know, calculations that we'll see next week. But for the bottom line is that we're machmir. We start Bein HaShemashos from the beginning of Rabbi Yehuda. That's clear from the Gemara. Okay? And we don't end with Bein HaShemashos till the end of Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashos. This is the Chumrah. Okay? Which is only begins a little bit, but sometime after Rabbi Yehuda. So you're going to have to add a couple of minutes to whatever Rabbi Yehuda's, okay, Bein HaShemashos is L'chumra at the end of Shabbos, etc. Those are all the Gemaras, okay? I hope that was clear. And from here, we're going to be able to now really get through the Rishonim, okay? So obviously, based on, yeah. What? Is it? No, we're going to discuss that. We're going to get to that. Don't worry. Okay. I should say no. Maybe yes, maybe no. That's going to be a machlokas, obviously. Okay. So now, the big issue, famous kasha, and this is Maram Makom number 9, 10, 11, and 12. They all ask the same kasha, and all give the same basic teretz, with variations as we'll see, okay? And that is, and it's what's known as the famous kasha Rabbeinu Tam. Famous kasha Rabbeinu Tam, that by now, if we went through, we ourselves, having gone through these Gemaras, obviously know the kasha. That is, the Gemaras in Psachim, right? The Gemara in Psachim clearly says that Rabbi Yehuda's, okay, shear between where and where, between Shkia and Seis, is clearly 4 mil. Is 4 mil between Shkia and Seis. Okay? Yet, Rabbi Yehuda is Gufa, the Tana in Shabbos, that says that Bein HaShmashos is from Shkia until Tseis. And how long is that? 3/4 mil. So, what's going on? Where's Shkia? Where's Bein HaShmashos? And where's Tseis? Okay? So Rabbeinu Tam, and we're going to see the Gra and the Gaonim are going to be Cholik. It's been known as the Shita of the Gra, but it really goes back to the Gaonim before the Rishonim. Okay? We'll discuss that, you know, soon enough. But they're going to basically have two different approaches on how to tackle these two Gemaras, and it's going to end up being a double Machlokas. A Machlokas of when Bein HaShmashos is, and when Seis is. And it's also a Machlokas of Shkia, but that's not as important as when Bein HaShmashos is, and when, okay, it is important too. Okay, so you could call it 3 machlokasim. But when Bein HaShmashos is, and when Seis is. So let's first deal with Rabbeinu Tam's, how he deals with it. Now, this is a little hakdama, before we all go crazy on the Shita, as the Gra and the Gaonim do, okay? Besides the fact that we're going to see this is an extremely difficult Shita with the Metzias, although not necessarily as difficult in the Gemaras, okay? Just you should be aware that this is the approach of Ruba Deruba Rishonim, and even Achronim, okay? Obviously, the Gra has been, you know, become a kubo in the Litvisha world, and even, you know, the Hasidim don't go connected the Gra on this Lechumra. But Rov Rishonim, I'm only going to give you a list of some of them, but there's much more. Rov Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rush, the Rajba, the Ritva, Tosas Rid, Ran, Smag, Magid Mishnah, Ravid, Ravya, okay? And more. And these are just the Rishonim, they're like, you know, a pretty clear cut. Others, you know, might be Machlokism, who they hold like and stuff. Okay? Achronim, the main Poskim, Mechaber and Ramah, Paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Right? You know, Pashtus, the Mechaber and the Ramah, okay, if they were zipping down the street 30 minutes, right? After, I don't know, 30 minutes here, okay? 20 minutes after Shkia, okay, the Mechaber and the Ramah, they were driving down the street, down Bet, 20 minutes after Shkia, they'd be stoned, okay? Because for them, it would be Vadayon. Vadayon. I tell a story that the Hasidim, when they came over from Europe, okay, we're holding Rabbeinu Tam. I thought, Hasidim in Europe for sure held Rabbeinu Tam's Zmanim. So they would, you know, they would for sure, even, you know, in America, even 30 minutes after Shkia, they would be doing Malacha. So the Satmar Rebbe basically put a stop to it. The Satmar Rebbe, even though in principle he held, you could probably do it, I don't know what you can do in the house if you have, you know, shasat chak situations and things like that. But he basically said that since in America, you know, the island of America is following the Gra, you know, so he put a stop to the people doing malacha 30 minutes after Shia. But what should be understood is that this is the way the Mechaber, the Ramah, okay, the Levush, the Trumas Hadeshen, the Magen Avram, the Pri Chadash, the Chasam Sofer. And we'll see the big Minchas Kohen that always is talked about in the Beralachas. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Chai Adam, they all go Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbi Kiva Eger, Eliyahu Rabba, all go Rabbeinu Tam, principle. Okay. So what does Rabbeinu Tam say? Okay. So what does Rabbeinu Tam say? So in Pesachim and Shabbos, he's not as spelled out as he is in the Sefer HaYashar Rabbeinu Tam, which you have in here also. Okay. I didn't put the Tosas in on the page, on this page, because I numbered them in your Gemara. Thank you, Dr. Lavi, for his new smooth Bar Ilan, you know, Surah Hadaf printout. Okay, so the Rabbeinu Tams are in this packet over here, the ones in the Gemara. The Sefer HaYashar is on the sheet. So look what he says. What he says is, this is Rabbeinu Tam and Pesachim in here, I'll just give you the first, what he says here, and then how he elaborates on it. It's important to be mechalik with you two, because how he elaborates on it in the Sefer HaYashar is different than the way the Tosfos HaRid elaborates on it. Okay, but they both go to Rabbeinu Tam sheet. So what does Rabbeinu Tam say? So if you look, what I did for you over here, okay, on the second side, okay, after the Shulchan Aruch, which is the last Maramakon that deals with the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so basically what he says is, if you look at the chart, that the Gemara in Pesachim, look at, I have Aleph and Bet, look at Bet. The Gemara in Pesachim is discussing, okay, sunset, okay, when the sun no longer can be seen, okay, until it sets. That's four mil. So from sunset until it sets is 4 mil. But that is not how we deal with when Bein HaShemashos is. Okay? Now you move up to Aleph. And that was the Gemara in Pesachim. But now you move up to Aleph, that's where the Gemara in Shabbos comes in. The Gemara in Shabbos, okay, is talking about not sunset Shkia, but what? Not talking about sunset Shkia. It's talking about Shkia, what he calls Sof Shkia. Tchila Shkia and Sof Shkia. In other places he calls it Shkia Rishona, and Shkia Shnia. In these Tosfos he calls it Tchilas Shkia and Sof Shkia. We'll call it, to make it easier for us, we'll call it Shkia Rishaya and Shkia Shnia. Okay? And he's medayik in the Lashon, as you saw, Mishetishka Hachama, as opposed to Shkias Hachama, right? Whereas the Lashon in Pesachim is from Shkias Hachama until Tseis. That's sunset. And in Shabbos, it's Mishetishka Hachama. That's Shkia Shnia, Sof Shkia, which only begins 3 1/4 mil, or with 72 mils, that would be 58. Okay? 58.5 minutes after Shkia. Right, you get a chassid in Eretz Yisrael would have 58 minutes after, and with the bell ringing, 78.5 minutes from when the bell's ringing to do malacha. 58.5 minutes, that first 58.5 minutes between Shkia Rishon and Shkia Shnia is Vaday Yom. It's Yom. You'll ask, L'may Nafgamina, Shkia Rishona, so we already gave one nafkamina, right? Tosefa Shabbos begins, and that could be the pre the pre-Laila Zman, but it's Vadayom. It's Vadayom, the first 3 1/4 mil. Okay? And obviously also critical, according to Rabbeinu Tam, in terms of assessing when Seis is, and when what? And when the second Shkia is. So it's important to know the Shkia Rishona. But the Shkia Rishona is when the sun sets. The Shkia Shnia is a later Shkia. What that means, we'll see in a second. And at that later Shkia, the Sof Shkia, the Shkia Shnia, that's when Bein HaShmashos begins. Okay? So only 3 1/4 mil. Okay? Notice the first 3 1/4 mil is Vadayom, and the last 3/4 mil is Bein HaShmashos. Okay, so 3 1/4 mil after the first Shkia is the second Shkia. Then the Bein HaShmashos begins for the next 3/4 of a mil. Until when? Until the full 4 mil. And then comes Seis HaKochavim according to Rabbeinu Tam. Everyone got that? Anyone not get that? Hope that's clear. Okay, that's very important. So there's a slew of kashes, that's Mitzias kashes on Rabbeinu Tam. We're going to deal with the first basic one, and then we're going to deal with the Gruz kasha. The first kasha is like Bechlal. You know, in these Tosfos in here, if you read the Tosfos in here, it sounds like some contrived, you know, like some of my Talmidim tell me, like, you know, in Shir, it's not like... They're contriving some stuff here, you know, to solve a problem. So I say, you know, I'm not contriving, I'm solving the problem, you know, it ain't a chinami. But when you're dealing with mitzias, it's a little more difficult than when, like, when you have, you know, a stira, halachic issue, you have to lumbicize it so you solve the problem. Here, you know, he seems to be making up a new shkia. Like, what is that? Like, you know, I don't think the astronomers, you know, have this shkia shnia. So what is it? So there are really, you should, if you, I don't know if you got to it, but you'll have time over Shabbos, and you should really know, instead of on Sunday, I'm going to give you more Maromakomos, but instead of going weiter in the Maromakomos, you should really see if you haven't seen all these Maromakomos, you should really see them inside, okay? So you have the 11 and 12 on the first page, the Sefer HaYashar, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Tosfos Rid. They each describe, okay, their vision of what is going on, in Rabbeinu Tam, in the Shkia Rishon and the Shkia Shnia, to make some sense out of it, okay? Rabbeinu Tam, he goes with the Chachmei, believe it or not, you'll see it inside, he goes with the Chachmei Yisrael model, right? Remember the Chachmei Yisrael, right? The sugya, right? Just your notes, right? That was the sugya, Maromakom 5, the Chachmei Yisrael, Chachmei Umos HaOlam. He goes with their model, and he's the way he describes it. I'll just try to describe it. You could look at it, you know. For the exact Lashonoth that he uses, but I'll try to give some of the key terms that he uses. What he says is, what's happening in the first Shkia is the sun enters into the Ovi Harakia. The Ovi Harakia. Remember we said it traverses? Let's go to the Chachmei Yisrael. Sun traverses to the west, and then it sets, sunset. What happens when it sunsets? It enters into the thickness, okay, of the rakia, of the firmament, whatever you want to call it. And then it's going through there, hanging out there. And then it gets to what he calls the chalon. You'll see the lashon he uses, the chalon harakia, which is like the point right before the kipas harakia. And at that point, when it's at the chalon harakia, he says, when it's about to now shift out and go through this Kipas HaRakia, pretty cool, right? That is Shkia Shnia. And it, from the time it's at the Chalon HaRakia until it pushes its way out of the kippas haraki and where it's totally gone and out. That's 3/4 of a mil, and that's the Bein HaShemashos of, okay, of the Gemara in Shabbos, the 3/4 mil, and that is the Bein HaShemashos of Bein Otam, obviously. So the first, so it's very interesting. While the sun, according to this Rabbeinu Tam, this is Rabbeinu Tam himself, okay, while the sun is in this Ovi Arakia, okay, it is still Yom. We understand now lumdishly why it would be called pre-Lila, but it's still Yom. It's Vala Yom. The difference, as explained by others, is, you know, that we're going to see in Tos Rid, this, when he describes the light factor, okay, is that obviously, from what's clear from the Gemara and Shabbos as well, and it's, I think you can see it in Rabbeinu Tam also, that the last 3/4 mil, it's like a reddening as opposed to like the rays of the sun. It's like the sun's reddening, and like the first 3 1/4 mil, you still have like the rays of the sun. Okay? The last 3/4 mil, you have this reddening. Right, and it's partially red on top and, you know, dark on the bottom until totally it's dark on top and bottom. That's when it already pushed its way out of the Kippas HaRakia. That's the Sefer Yashar Bein Otam. The big kasha that they ask, and Tosfos Rid himself, you see at the end of Tosfos Rid, he says, a bit of time explaining his own shita, you know, seems to go with the Chachmei Yisrael. And Rebbe even said, as we said before, Rebbe even said, Nirin, right? Dvara l'dvareinu. That the Chachmei Umos HaOlam seems to be right. He was molded to the Chachmei Umos HaOlam. So how could Rabbeinu Tam be explaining, right, our whole halachic system of Bein HaShemashos and Shkia, the Yom, Safek Yom V'Laila, based on the faulty approach of the Chachmei Yisrael, where they were molded to the Chachmei Umos HaOlam. Right? So that's what Tosfos Rid brings up, the Maram Al-Shaker, I think that's how he's a tshuva, brings up this problem, okay? And that's the big problem. However, if you check it out, on Maram Makom 12, on the same page there as the Chachmei Yisrael, Chachmei Umos HaOlam, Gemara there, okay? If you check it out, the Gilyon HaShas says, he quotes the Shita Mekubetzes in Ksuvis, after Yud Gimel, check it out. The Shita Mekubetzes in Ksuvis Yud Gimel, he says that it's clear from the Shita Mekubetzes in Ksuvis Yud Gimel that, look what he says. The Nitzchu, true, the Afagab, the Nitzchu Chachmei Umos HaOlam, the Chachmei Yisrael, Haino Nitzachon Betainos. A nitzachon and tainos. Yeah, you made some good, yeah, you made some good arguments. Aval emes hi ki chachmei Yisrael. But the emes is like chachmei Yisrael. V'haynu d'arminan, okay, be right, b'tzvila ubokeya, and this is the lashon of Bein Otam. Bokeya chalone rakia, and that's the bokeya. It's hanging out at the chalone rakia, okay, and therefore. All right, we're not going to obviously deal with this, you know, again, it could be metaphysical, it could be metaphorical, all these types of things. But the bottom line is, this is how Rabbeinu Tam, okay, described it. And the real important thing for us in all of this is that there is a 3 1/4 mil zman, where obviously there's a more intense rays of the sun, okay? And then the last 3/4 mil, which he describes as the, you know, that shift from the Ovi Arakia outside the Kippas Arakia at the edge of the Chalon Arakia, that's the 3/4 mil where it's just reddening, and that is our Bein HaShemashos. Tosfos Rid, we got to speed it up here. Tosfos Rid, he also explains our Bein Otam, okay, and what he says is, okay, just trying to make it understandable within the Chachmei Umos HaOlam. So he really does the same thing, just dealing with the Chachmei Umos HaOlam. And what he says is that when the sun goes below the horizon, or as the Chachmei Umos Olam called it, under the earth. So that's Shkia Rishona. Then what happens is the sun is going lower and lower below the horizon. Okay? And as it's going lower and lower below the horizon, it reaches a point where you don't have the rays reflecting, refracting, I don't know what the word is. Okay, you don't have the rays reflecting anymore, and all you then have is a reddening. So the point where the sun goes below the horizon, he says, to the point where it's no longer light, but just reddening, that's the 3/4 mil, that's the 3 1/4 mil from sunset, and that's where the 3/4 mil of Beit HaShemeshos begins. So that is, okay, that is Rabbeinu Tam. The Gra. Okay, we got 3 minutes here. The Gra comes along, okay, and he goes a shtickle bonkers here, okay, on the Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, number one is, according to you, in a lot of places in Europe, you're never gonna have night. But if you figure out the math, we don't have time right now, if you figure out the math, by the time night comes, right, in certain places, okay, what's gonna then happen is, it's already gonna be alos. Why is that important? Because the Gra understands that the mil, and this we'll discuss next week, the mil is a ratio. It's not based, right? It's based on ratio. It's not based on a fixed 72 minutes. It has to do with the latitude. It moves based on latitude and the time of the year. This is all Bavel, the equinox. This is Bavel and Eretz Yisrael during the equinox. So that's one time. Plus, he says, it's not true. 3 stars are already out way before. So that's where he comes with the 3/4 mil. Okay, we'll discuss Rabbeinu Tam in the beginning of next week's year, and there'll be more Ma'amar Kamos to come. What's important is that we'll see next week within Rabbeinu Tam himself is a machlokas. Some achronim learned that Rabbeinu Tam is a fixed mil. That's where our 72 minutes come. Like 72 minutes, wherever you are, 72 minutes. 72, it's a fixed mil. Like there are people who hold Dafka 72 everywhere, Dafka 90 everywhere, Dafka 96 everywhere. We'll see how that all plays out. Okay, hope this is a good intro to the intro, and then Mitzvah Shem will continue with this Monday night. There'll be more Ma'amar Kamos Sunday night.